everyone, welcome to TimingResearch.com's Analyze Your Trade, episode number 78 for May 21st, 2019. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each, and I've put the list together of the list that we're going to go through today of what was requested. So you should be seeing that on your screen now while I'm talking, and we're going to get through as many of those as we can today. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and today I have arranged for Neil Batho and Mike Bassani to join us again, and I have Jim Kenny back to moderate, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jim.
Okay, thank you, David, and good to be with everybody here today. Got a lot of great stocks to go over, and they're diversified as far as their industry group, so it'll be very interesting to see what the guys think. Before we get started, I'm just going to let the speakers introduce themselves and give them a quick background on themselves. We're going to start with Neil from Trader Review. And Neil, a little background and a little bit of information on Trader Review.
Sure. Thanks, Jim. I used to be a poker big firm 20 years ago, but I found out it was just too much of a sales job, not really a money management job, just where you gather assets is really what they want you to do and never sell. So I was more interested in making the stock picks. So I did some business consulting for a while, and then I got into writing my own newsletters. So I've been doing this for a long time now, and I send out the best picks I can, stocks, options, and ETFs to my clients using some of the analysis I actually learned when I was a broker, got introduced to. That was kind of interesting that I got into that with a Point and Figure, and now I'm also combining it with the Ichimoku Cloud.
That's a lot of good stuff, and we'll be very much interested in your opinions on these stocks, Neil. Mike, turning over to you, smartoptiontrading.com, a little background on yourself and a little bit about the firm.
Hello, Mike. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yep.
Sorry about that. I had to unmute. I made my first trade just after the financial crisis in 2008, and I basically self-taught myself how to trade through the good times and the bad times, and got into options and figured out that not only can you use options for trading for leverage, but they also tell you what names are in play or the overall sentiment of the market. So what I do is every day I do a video for my subscribers, set them up in the morning of what I like, what I don't like, and we use option flow and we use technicals and news to determine what names we should be getting into, what names have a higher probability of working on that day or are good for swings. And then we do a recap video at night to talk about what looks good going forward into the next day based upon flow.
Sure. And I'll tell you what's good about today. We've got two guys that are coming from the market at different angles. So it should be very informative to get a little bit of an idea on how each approach would look at each one of these stocks. Okay, we're going to get into it right away so we can get through as many as possible. We're going to start out with Gilead Sciences, and that's GILD. And we'll start out with Neil. Neil, what are you seeing on Gilead?
Okay, I'm just going to bring up the screen share. Just take a second here. I just want to say one of the things about the market, especially because it's near a high, is that 80% of stocks follow the market, but only 20% of people know that. So you kind of, you always got to look at the market as well. So I'm looking at it here. You use the chart up? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just seeing, I use the cloud here also. Wait a second. That's the 1 minute. That's not going to be much use to us at all. Yeah, there's just too much consolidation. And right away, when I see something like this, I don't have to bring up a chart of relative strength to the market. I already know that the relative strength is weak to the market when it's consolidating such a long time. So I'm just going to say avoid stocks with this consolidation, weak relative strength.
Yeah, I mean, this stock has been trading between about 62 and 68 since December, huh?
Yeah, there's just no point. I can bring up a weekly chart.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to go with the momentum too. I mean, I bring up a weekly chart. We're going way back here, a couple years.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no point at all. Maybe a new drug comes out. Maybe something will break out at 69. You make a few percent. But no, it's just a complete avoid. You're not going to lose. I don't think you're going to lose money. Buy it.
But biotech can be feast or famine. So if this thing came out with a drug, it could pop to 76. And if they come out one and get one off of of trial, you know, it could break through the lows. So that's, yeah. you're saying basically on this kind of thing, stand aside. Mike, your angle on Gilead, because you are looking at it through a different lens a bit.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I think biotech space is a very tough space to be in right now because of everything with political uncertainty as we move forward with the Democrats promising to, especially Bernie Sanders, to just, you know, unify Medicare and to beat the hell out of the drug companies. You brought up a weekly chart, you know, and I thought that was great because, you know, this company had its heyday back when it first came out with the first hepatitis C drug. You remember that back about 3 or 4 years ago. And since then, all their other drugs in their pipeline have basically failed, and they have a very thin to almost no pipeline left at this point. And so you look at the weekly chart, it's been holding this area down around 60, which it has to hold to stay active. But, you know, I just think if you want to trade a name right now in biotech, this is not the one. I don't know what the catalyst is there. You know, I prefer to trade some of these other names that are breaking out, like ARY today. You see them, ARY today had a big, big news, big candle like that on good data points. You got to kind of, the drug companies, look for the data names right now and not look for the big names. The big names aren't working anymore. They seem to have died out.
So on this one, the opinions generally are, the consensus is stand aside, nothing to buy here, nothing to sell. So basically, it's a stand aside. Let's go to APC, which I believe is Apache, correct?
I just want to make a quick comment about Gilead, though, is that the yield is almost 4%. Mm-hmm. And so if you're someone that, you know, you're not interested in trying to make 30% a year more or whatever, and you want to try to sneak some yield and money out of there, you could always buy it and sell some covered calls out of the money. And you could sneak out, you know, 8 to 10% a year out of it if that's what you want.
Yeah, if you're going to be in the sector and you want to get a dividend flow, then this would be one to take a look at. And probably the premiums aren't that bad either. So for cash flow purposes, dividend purposes, might not be a bad thing to look at. And then if it takes a long time to do anything, at least you're getting paid for the wait, right?
Yeah, and sell some covered calls. Right. You might be able to do it. Man.
Let's save some time on APC. There's nothing to do here. They're bought out. This is just waiting for the deal to close at this point.
Yeah, Anadarko is already in the hopper. So we'll skip over Anadarko, and we will go to TLT, which had a good size move. And again, this is the 20-year treasury, and it had a pretty, obviously a very good size move in the last 3 months. But what are we seeing here now, Neil, in this price range?
This was actually one of our only picks over the last month. Right here on this green candle, we bought some call options and we made 150% and we sold right here above the previous high. But bonds are so awesome to trade. Nobody trades them. There's even a leveraged bond ETF. We bought that too. But interest rates are not going to go up now. You got Trump saying he wants them down. You got, I think, Secretary of the Treasury saying he wants rates down. They say there's no inflation, which is 100% lie, because the last 10 years, rent has doubled and food has doubled.
Absolutely.
I don't even know if they use rent and food in the inflation calculation, but the official inflation calculation is a really, really, really ridiculous.
Neil, not the places they live in.
So, I mean, it's just insane. Saying there's no inflation, I mean, is just, you know, even Ron, I was a big Ron Paul fan back in the day, and he said that inflation hurts the poor the most. You know, because gas doubles, they're not making more than 30 grand a year. So what are they going to make the next year, 31 grand a year? So basically, the only reason bonds rallied is because the anticipation of future interest rate hikes has decreased.
Yeah, the Okeechobee, cloud is underneath the market, correct? So it'd be difficult to play it from the short side, even though it could be a potential double top up there?
Yeah, you might be able to do it. I don't really like to short double tops necessarily, unless you're like really spot on watching it all the time.
Right.
But no, not, I just wouldn't bother right now necessarily here in Boston.
A lot of the technicals are still somewhat positive, so you're going against the river.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, maybe you could short it down to, I don't know, 123, but making these tiny little moves, trying to short peaks is a dangerous game to play.
no doubt. Ask the people on Chipotle, right? Okay, Mike, let's go over and see how you're feeling about this TLT.
Honestly, you know, bonds, you know, if you track bonds directly and go just to the futures contract, it's interesting where the TLT made a double top, bonds missed, right? So the bonds did not make it. And through this whole last 2 weeks, through this China sell-off, whatever you want to call it, we've had here in the markets, bonds didn't really rally all that much. And, you know, if there was a lot of fear, you would expect bonds to be going up. I the trend is up. I prefer to buy weakness maybe off the 50-day, which seems to be a pretty good area where it likes to be bought down here around 123, unless the market decides to sell off, I think this is just not the place to be unless you're looking for yield. I just think there's so many other names that are moving out there, and these are just not really all that active. Bonds have not been a big participant in this market now for the last couple months, and just slow little monotonous moves. I'd rather put my money elsewhere.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's switch over to the semis a little bit here. We got NVIDIA on the screen. This is a stock that in the fourth quarter or so was up in the 290s, went all the way down to 124, which was about a 60% drop. And now it has been trying to recover back to 200. Now it's back into the 150s. So this thing is all over the place. How do we feel about NVIDIA right now, Neil?
No, completely avoid it. It's such an old story at this point that, I mean, every bounce is going to be less than the bounce from before until people finally just give up on the stock. So I'm just got to avoid it. I mean, if you weren't buying over the last couple of years, you're just not going to make money heading up. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I would avoid it.
Has the Bitcoin story gone south over the time also hurt this stock a little bit? Or
I'm not too familiar with the fundamentals. I think they make some of that equipment, and I'm not too familiar right. with NVIDIA, but just looking at
The technical.
I mean, you know, if you didn't buy these bounces here and like these looked okay, if you missed it this entire time and now you're thinking now's my chance, there's already 3, 4, 5 chances in the past. So I've just avoided.
And the CEO said they took the crypto out of their the crypto portfolio. Bump out of their future reporting. They said they don't expect any more money from crypto mining.
That's funny because then if they say that, then that's when you buy crypto.
Yeah, they said that in their earnings report on the call.
Yeah, Mike, are you seeing anything different here? You got the cloud kind of in the middle there, and how are you feeling about NVIDIA? Any future there? Or?
You know, I think this is a great company. They have great products, but they got ahead of themselves after a huge run up, right, from 20 to almost 300 we just missed. And they're not firing right now. Their latest chip is not, their latest graphic card is not being well received. It's not as fast as their previous draft card because it's a new technology. So people are still buying their older graphics cards instead of their newer ones. And they're having issues with quality on the new cards as well, which will all pass. The one thing I was shocked is, if you remember, if you go back into January, we had that big gap down when they guided down, and it never got punished for that. And I can't understand. The last two quarters, they've beaten on lowered guidance, but they haven't guided back up. So to me, this is an avoid. If you want to play a semi, there's only really one semi right now that I think I would look at, and that's AMD. And the reason I love AMD is, first of all, look at this chart. Through everything going on here, it's rock solid, riding the 50-day in a tight channel. They're taking on Intel and gaining market share. They're taking on NVIDIA and gaining market share. They, you know, the China exposure doesn't seem to be bothering this one like it is to Micron and Qualcomm and some of the others. If you want to play a semi, to me, this is the best semi to play. It has a great CEO, and the chart is a thing of beauty. You look at this chart, it's sitting here waiting. You could buy this thing religiously off the 50-day or 2650 area, and it bounces off of that every time.
You know, that's a good thing for listeners to think about is after the broadcast, contacting you guys, and maybe they're looking at a stock in a sector, but maybe they're just looking at a different stock than you'd be looking, and you could give your opinion on what stock you believe might be more advantageous if people want to play the sector, which is what you're talking about. I think we're done with that. Let's go to the next guy here, ZTS, because we're going back to pharma, but as you can see, there's more than one dog in this race, and this chart looks totally different than the first one on GILD. So again, let's hit GTS here, Neil, and get some feedback on what you're seeing.
Yeah, I don't like it. Just too much consolidation, moves too slowly. But if you really want to buy it, I would go for a breakout at 105, because if you look at how much consolidation this is, the longer the consolidation goes, the more effective the breakout is going to be. So it would be like almost a triple, quadruple, quintuple breakout here. So that's what I would do. Buy stop limit at 105, limit 106.
You got the cloud underneath, which is not a bad thing, and the all of the 52-week high was hit on May 3rd, which is not that far removed from where we are. So I think you might be onto something. If it takes out 105, it could be on the horse again, right?
Yeah, but it's just such a slow mover. I just don't see.
It's not your cup. It's not your cup of tea, but there could be something there.
Yeah.
All right. So Mike, you're seeing ZTS in what way?
You know, you always got to be careful with these biotech stocks. You have to know when data's coming out, right? And right now, I think I like this chart. You had a big move here back in February, and then it kept climbing up, and now it's consolidating, and it's pretty much riding the 21-day and the 8-day here. And I think Neil nailed it. You either wait for a breakout or you buy it on dips. You buy it if it was to reconnect with the 50-day, I would try it off that $100 or 101 area for a pushback and see if it can break out. It looks good. I don't know when they have earnings, and I don't know if they have any data due. So that's the thing you always have to be careful of. But this is a nice chart. I like the consolidation after a big move. I'd be bullish
on it. Okay, right now you're bullish. And Neil, it's not your cup of tea, but it looks fairly constructive, particularly if you can break out above 105. That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's swing over to gold, which is obviously a whole different sector in the mining here. And you've got GLD, and it had a nice rally for about, I don't know, about 6 months, it seemed like. And then in February, rolled over, and it seems to be... trying to stabilize here, but how are you seeing it, Neil? Does it look like it's just stalling before lower, or does it look like it could hang out here and maybe make a turn?
The gold story is so old now. It's over 15 years old. I remember when gold was $300 back in 2003. Mm. And I mean, commodity cycles can last 20 years. I think gold is one of the worst possible places, UP. The only reason gold will rally is if deficits increase more than people think they will increase. That means that purchasing power is worth less, you know? So, I mean, with the economy so good, I don't see any reason for, you know, increased deficits. And so I think gold, this inflation hedge nonsense, I don't believe that at all. You know, I would say it's one of the worst places you can be for the next 5, 10, 15, even 20 years. I think it's just going to go nowhere. So, I'm totally, totally not into gold, but you can get some great bounces, you know, as this happens. You know, looking back here, this was a great move. A rally to resistance to the cloud, it comes down and commodities trend really, really nicely. So look to trade it from time to time. But as far as buying it, there's just no way.
Yeah, strong dollar, announced inflation being very low. These are tough rackets for the gold. And if the inflation rate ever could pop and get well above the 2% area, that would be helpful. But in this environment, as you can see, it had some steam and it ran out a little bit. But Mike, from your lens, is there anything here?
I don't think there is. You know, when we had the sell-off and the correction we got back at the end of last year, remember how strong gold was? They were hiding in gold during the whole uncertainty. And, you know, since that high back in January, you can see we've created this downtrend. And we broke above it last week when the first really vicious down day. We got this on the futures contract. You see, we got this big bullish engulfing candle on gold. And since that day, all we've done is given it back and now gave that entire move back and then some. And, you know, if this was going to be the same to be buying it, you look at a weekly chart and a five-year chart, this thing's just chopping around. There's really no real power behind the move in this. You know, it's never bad to have a little gold in your portfolio from a long-term or maybe just a little bit of some of the miners maybe. But I think, you know, but for me, this is just not where I want to be. I'll play it and I'll trade it when it's in play, but it's not what I want to be holding on to.
You know, if Bernie Sanders wins the Democratic nomination and he's leading in the polls, gold will be a big buy because those deficits are going to be massive.
Yeah, I think the road to higher prices is 1400, so you might as well just keep cutting bait until you break 1400, then go fishing. But at any rate, let's go to something that I think we should spend a little bit more time on, because I think it's a sector that is obviously fairly new and a lot of investors are interested in it. And it's been a wild ride in many cases, and that's in the cannabis sector. So the next one on the list is going to be Canopy Growth, GCC, CGC, and it's had a wild ride up and down. And so let's hear what you think a little bit about the sector maybe and a little bit about Canopy, or if you have any other ideas in the sector. Neil?
I don't really know too much about the sector. It's kind of an old story now. It reminds me of Tesla in a way. No one followed it and then it went crazy. And now you're wondering if you should have bought. But I'm just really not an expert. I'm sorry. And a lot of consolidation. I wouldn't be buying this particular one.
So this is more in that line of it's not going anywhere. And ergo, with your work, you're looking for things that are actually looking like they may have some potential to move. And this one looks like it's been just pretty much doing nothing since September. Huh?
Well, I mean, if you look, a pullback from 52 to 44 is just too much of a pullback. I mean, right. In a positive trend, you can't have a pullback that's 20% so fast and think that it can continue on to new highs. It's going to take a long time. You know, I mean, a typical pullback shouldn't be any more than around 5%. So just avoid.
Too much. Okay, Mike, any more input on the sector? And if not Canopy, any ideas on anything else in the sector?
Both. I disagree. I love this name. This is my favorite name in the pot space. I think it's best in breed. They got a $4 billion investment from Stars, Constellation Brands. That was part of that big run-up. It ran hard. It came back down a little bit, which is okay. You know, and here it is consolidating. It hasn't even touched, you know, it hasn't even touched the 200-day yet. Nice consolidated pullback here, starting to work back up. It needs now to get a little bit going here. It had a big run. We were down in the 20s. We ran all the way up to 50. We doubled. And now it's just chilling out, getting ready to go. and I think this is one of the names I'd keep my eyes on. This is one I like if you want a long-term investment. I like this one as a long-term investment. I do day trade this one quite often. If you're looking for other names in the sector, I'm going to tell you right now to keep an eye on for the rest of the week, ACB. I don't know what... Go ahead. Sorry, Jim.
I was going to say that's a fantastic one to bring up because the technical picture on that I'd love to see. And it's half the size of Canopy. The CEO is on TV and he's saying that he's working with Nelson Pills to do some association. So please talk about this one.
Well, like you said, chart looks better, consolidating here nicely, holding up well. And then there was this today. In a very short amount of time, they swept rapidly 18,000 of the weekly 9 calls, weeklies. And so that has my attention because that's big buying in a name like this for a very short amount of time. You don't see that very often. So for me, you know, this name has a lot going for it. Like you said, it has Nelson Peltz involved. It's got to break out above this now, you know, 930 area to get going. So you can kind of come in here and draw a line at 930 and say, you know, once it gets above that, it should try to run back to this peak up at 1025, and it can do it in a single day. I mean, when this thing gets going, you see the size of some of these candles. It has a large ATR. It can move 70 cents to a dollar a day when it really wants to go. So, for me, CGC is a great name. You saw a little call buying there today, but right now, ACB is probably one of the better looking charts in the cannabis space, and I would be focusing on this one.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting look. There's no doubt about that. Okay, we're going to go over there to the big airplane maker and way up at 446 at one point.
It's a bird.
And then, of course,
it's a bird.
Yeah. I have a little joke about that. Saturday Night Live said the worst airport in the country is Newark, and it was closely followed by the Hudson River. So yeah, that was the joke. That was the joke on the airport. All right, so moving now to the more serious subject of Boeing, a big drop, and it went down pretty sharply. And of course, these guys are in a two-horse race in this industry anyway. Neil, after this kind of a drop and this kind of stuff going on, is there anything to look at on this Boeing?
Don't even bother. Too many problems. Yeah. Yeah, don't try to be the contrarian guy here. Just don't bother.
And the cloud looks a little ominous, huh?
That's the whole chart's a mess. Don't try to be a genius and right. A contrarian so you can brag about it later. So, no.
All right, not your cup of tea, but Mike, on Boeing, is there an opportunity after this big correction, or is it just going to be choppy back and forth? What do you think?
We're kind of waiting on news. When you look at this chart, you know, here was your big pull. Now, look how extended we were. When that news came out, we were all the way up over 440. We didn't even hit the 200-day on the initial downtrend. It took almost a month and a half later to break the 200-day. There is a possible swing long if we can retake the 200-day, which is trading roughly around this 360, 361 area. We kind of went into it today and pulled. I think you need to get the news that the fix is in, they're going to get the planes back in the air, and then see if people are going to continue to order the planes. To me, that's the most important part, because if this plane was built to compete against Airbus in a space they didn't have anything, so they had to make design changes, and they rushed. But if they're going to keep with this plane and they're going to order it, then Boeing's going to run back. And, you know, if you get above the 200-day and can hold it, that's a nice little place to try it against. If it can't take the 200-day, to me, there's no trade here. There was some June 330 puts bought on today. There were some weekly calls on it today. It's messy. It's just got to take out this 360 area for me to want to get long. It has to take that back. When the stock's below the 200-day like this, it's at risk where institutions don't want to be involved in it. And I think right now it needs to take that badly.
And it might be too early to say that the news that obviously deteriorated, and that's why we cracked the 200-day, if that's been resolved. And then, like you said, are these people going to come back in and buy more of these planes? And is the China deal going to be a problem if they cancel their orders and all that kind of stuff? So there's enough news here.
Great point on China, right? Another thing, they have huge exposure there.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a deal where it could break either way. And if that's your game, then you're going to have to live by the sword, die by the sword as the news comes out. All right. We just can't get enough of this sector. So we're going back to town here and we're going to hit the pharmaceuticals again with REGN. And this looks a little bit more like the first one than the second one, but might be in an oversold condition, might have something that way. But Neil's going to give us an idea of what he's seeing.
My chart's not loading right now. So you're going to have to get back to me, please, Jim.
Yeah, let's go. let's go to Mike. Mike, what's your chart saying on this thing?
It's regen, right?
Yeah, REGN.
Okay. Again, this is like Gilead. Remember the four horsemen of biotech? It was Biogen, Regeneron, Celgene, and Gilead, right? And Kramer used to talk about these guys at nuts, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it was. I mean, they've all fallen on hard times. Celgene's been bought out. Regen can't get going. Its drugs aren't working. It, like Gilead, has the same problem. They're having huge drug failures. It's come way down here now, all the way down to this 295 area where it's trying to hold. It's oversold. So if you're looking for an oversold bounce, I think this is your name. If you're looking for a long-term investment, I don't see it. I look at this chart on a weekly chart and it's just ugly. The highs were all the way back in 2015. There's nothing going on here. It's struggling right now to hold this 295 area. If it loses that, who knows where it can go. It's thinly traded, so it's not my cup of tea to day trade. I don't like trading names that don't trade at least 1 million shares on average a day, and this one rarely does. I just think there's better names out there. It's not for me.
Yeah, the only things that have any kind of light at the end of the tunnel is you're about 22% underneath the 200-day, and the P ratio has dropped down to 14. Other than that, the momentum obviously is not very good.
The center's under fire.
Yeah, and the lows of last year are right around this 300 number, so that's another thing to put into your pipe. Did you load that thing, Neil, and are we ready, or is there not much there for you to talk about anyway? What do you think?
Give me a minute or two, please.
Okay, sure, no big deal.
If we're waiting for him to come up, some other things, it's about looking for names in this space that have catalysts, that have good drugs. I think CBay recently had a good drug data, right? And you can see the reaction here, how it's come up, and now it's consolidating, ready for a move. BioMarin had another one, BMRN. Another one that had some good information pop back up here. It's struggling to get over this 100 area, long-term consolidation, but it had good drug data. Look at the pop it got on that. You want to look for these names that are acting a little bit different from the market, that are trading a little differently, not the ones that are just getting killed. The ones that are getting killed for a reason at this point in that space.
Okay. Do you want to go to the next one, Neil, or do you want to hang with this thing with the REGN?
Are we on into it now?
Oh, okay. So you've skipped over. That's good. No, the one we're on now is the last one on the biotech front, Merck, MRK.
Okay. I'll bring
it up. And so if you can load up Merck and give us an idea on that one, another pharma deal. And it definitely looks a little bit more constructive price-wise lately than the other couple that we looked at. So it'll be interesting to see what you see here.
I see a similar pattern to back here where you get a big sell-off like this, and then it just kind of goes nowhere for a couple months, and now we get another sell-off, and it's looking like sort of nowhere. But I just don't see it. I don't think Merck is a pharma, not a biotech, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think pharma is probably just really not where we're going to want to look right now. I mean, sectors move together, so most of the price move in a stock is based on the sector that it's in. So if you look at a couple of pharma stocks and they're not looking so good, probably most of the pharma stocks are not going to look that good. I mean, if you're buying Merck compared to, another pharma stock and you're thinking you're going to make the right decision, but neither of them are so good, I would just avoid the sector. Maybe the election's going to be really bad, this type of stuff, for the next year and a year and a half,
Yeah, whether it be Merck or Pfizer, they both seem like they're kind of hanging out waiting for news to hit one way or the other. So that pharma area, that's pretty much how it's looking right now. All right, well, then let's get to what you were talking about, which is Intuit, and get a little feedback on where you think that thing's going.
I don't like it either. Pullback is too big. Kind of a strange stock, to be honest, the way that it trends. I think I traded this before in the past. It's a software company, right? And now if I'm looking at these types of things, a software company is going to trade similar to semiconductors because you're looking at business upgrade cycles. They're going to want to get the new software. They're going to want to have consulting companies come in. And then you can't get late to the stage and that type of thing. So they have really good profits of these software companies. And then sort of the anticipation of slower profits is kind of looming on the horizon. And, even the election coming up, people don't know what's going to happen with the economy. It's too much uncertainty. These types of, I would just avoid it.
Now, I've got a couple of quick questions for you. One, you've got a gap there around 260 and change. And two, where that cloud is on the chart, is that Is that unresolved, or is that kind of telling you that the cloud is indicating a possible rollover?
On the cloud charting, the thicker the cloud, the more chance of a reversal of the trend. So you can see over here, the cloud has flipped, which is not good. And then you also have to look at what direction the cloud is in. So if we look over here to the left, you can see sort of like a normal move in the cloud, and the chart kind of goes nicely. And then you have this really almost vertical move up, you know, where you're looking at 45 degrees or more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when stock kind of has its normal trend that can last, would be, you have to look back and say, you know, it's kind of, I mean, you look here, it's very nice. It's all going in the same direction for a couple years. And then all of a sudden it just starts going way up. That never, ever works.
Right.
And so people will say, oh, wow, it's really taken off. Now I should get in. You got to think, oh, and as far as shorting the tops, look here, this is just perfect. This inverse hammer, I definitely would short or buy some puts here if I had seen it.
Sure.
Because that's when you got that upside down V on the day. So a really thick cloud, it's flipped. You got to be careful with the cloud. You sort of got to know it all.
Right.
Some of the little tiny nuances of it. But, you know, no, just avoid it.
Rather than filling the gap, this might be a case of what gaps down goes down.
Yeah, I mean, you got to break here of the cloud. You can get a move down to 200. There's going to be some awesome shorts coming up. Sell in May, go away. I mean, that doesn't mean 1st of May. It also means the end of May, too. So there's going to be some awesome shorts, awesome put opportunities. So people should be looking at some of these things and say, okay, I'm going to buy some puts using maybe 1% of my portfolio on 5-6 picks. Worst you could ever do is lose 6%, but you could get big winners. And, you know, your account could be up 10% in the next couple months. So I would start looking at shorting some of these things and getting ready. And often if something like this was to just break the cloud by one candle, all the traders out there in the world will know. And when that happens, you can get a move down the very next day. So I'm actually maybe going to look at some puts on this for myself. So thanks for bringing it up.
The volume could come in heavy and there's nobody on the other side, and that's how you get the vacuum.
I mean, what company is now going to have a new software contract with Intuit? Who's going to call them up and say, hey, I really want to grow my business? And where have you been the last 10, 15 years? You've been nowhere. And anyone that's calling them up is probably going to be a small company. And what's Intuit going to do? You know, have all these mom and pop companies call them up for consulting services? So no, I just don't see any reason. I mean, no big company is going to say, hey, I got a great idea in the meeting this week. Let's hire Intuit. No.
All right, let's throw it in Mike's lap. Mike has his own way of looking at these things. Obviously, Neil's not too crazy about Intuit, but how do you feel, Mike?
You're talking about one of the strongest sectors in software, and they haven't reported yet. And this one happens to report on Thursday. So in 2 days, we'll know the answer to your question, Neil, about how things are going there.
You could maybe buy a put and a call close together. And if you make more than 100% on one of them, you win.
This sector's been strong, whether it be Salesforce hanging in or, you know, Coop, or pick some of your names, Adobe, right? The sector overall has been very strong. I don't know why it gapped down. I don't know what the news was on that day for that big gap down that occurred there. Obviously, something wasn't good for a big gap like that. We'll see what happens with earnings. If earnings are good, you know, I'm sure they're going to go right to that gap. And if it's really good, they're going to go right through that gap and go back up. And if it's bad, I think you retest the 200-day.
I love recessions. I got to tell you, I'm just bringing it up. I love recessions as long as you can keep your job during a recession, you are stoked.
But what recession? You're not in a recession here.
Oh, I know. I'm just hoping.
We're in a slowdown, but we're not in a recession.
I know.
One thing about Intuit, when it did go up in April to 272, it was almost 25% above its 200 day. So the air got a little thin. And when the air is thin, it doesn't take too much to get a pullback, right?
Yeah. So I think, you know, for me, this is a no touch until after earnings on, unless you want to take earnings risk, right? Like I think Neil said, take a straddle on or a strangle of some type. But this is until earnings on Thursday, who knows? You know, earnings to me are always a complete crapshoot. You really just don't know. And even when you think you're right, the market makers step in and you're wrong. They don't let you get the implied move. So I would wait till Thursday and then take a shot on it after that.
Well,
a good one.
I think obviously Thursday can be a big reversal day as well. So the likelihood that A, Thursday could be volatile, and B, the news on this thing could send it one way or the other is not the worst bet in the world. Okay, well, we got that done. And now we're going to jump back into the metals market. I know the yellow metal wasn't very popular. How about the white metal? Neil, since we don't have catalytic converters in electric cars, what's the future of this silver?
Hey, wow, that's actually a genius strategy. I didn't think about that. I wonder how much that's going to affect the price of silver.
That's platinum. That's why platinum is trading at a discount of $400 or $500 of gold. Right. I made a mistake. But this is the batteries. Yeah, this might be used in the batteries. Jose?
I don't know. But looking at silver, I think of price targets, I think of inflation. So in the last 15 years, the money supply has tripled. So 15 years ago, silver was at $5. So it's almost like it's at $5 today, but I think we can get a move down. I mean, people just don't care. I mean, it was so overvalued to the upside, it'll get undervalued, you know, to the downside as well. And then people will say, oh, I can't believe silver. But I mean, I'm looking at, this is a monthly chart I'm bringing up here. Those are really fun to look at sometimes. So if I look at a monthly chart, I mean, we're looking back here in 2000, it was at $5, $4. We could, I mean, I think shorting or using double or triple inverse ETFs on gold and silver for the next 5 years could be awesome. I mean, you could see this move down to $8. I think, yeah, definitely. You see this here where there was a, it bounced off 14 and then kind of did here again. Don't think that you can use that as a buy, because that's not real support. That's like just sort of barely hanging on to an invisible line support. So, you know, real support would be over here, like a bounce on a real line in a trend. This is sideways, losing relative strength. I'm actually going to look really to get seriously thinking about shorting gold and silver. Because if you tell your neighbor or someone at your office, hey, you know, I'm thinking about shorting gold and silver, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, you're nuts. You need to have gold and silver as an inflation hedge. Everybody knows, et cetera, et cetera. Gold is the place to be, right? And the opposite would be in 2003. You say, I'm thinking about buying gold. People say gold doesn't go anywhere. So now I'm going to look into shorting this. So I'm glad someone brought that up.
Now, I'm not an expert in the cloud. Can you put the chart back up real quick? I just wanted to ask you a quick question if we could. Yeah. What's the difference between the green and the reddish color? What does that differentiate?
Well, the green is a positive trend. The red is a negative trend. But on the monthly chart, really, it's kind of pointless. You know, you'd have to look. It's just not going to work on a monthly chart, weekly chart. And in the chart, I can tell you that the cloud is not good in consolidation. It's only good trends. And that's from a book I read. So here, it's just pointless. But I mean, shorting silver could just be awesome, or buying some puts. I mean, there may be a very little time premium. I'm thinking on the options.
Yeah, they should be skinny with the kind of volatility on that chart. Huh?
Sorry?
I said they should be skinny with the type of volatility we're seeing on that chart.
Yeah, this could be great to short. People should start setting themselves up for shorts in certain years, and I think it'll be quite profitable.
All right, Mike, gold, not a lot of takers. What are we thinking on the silver, Mike?
I think I'd wait to sort it here. I know it has a bear flag formation. It's had this downtrend. You got this big move down. You have these three candles, but it's out of the bottom of the Bollinger Band. It's RSI is oversold. Metals don't get oversold unless there's a catalyst. They don't stay oversold very long. They generally come right, they bounce up. I would look to short this on a bounce. If it got up to maybe, you know, see if it tried to bounce back up into the 21-day or something like that, up towards this area right in here, you know, about 1370, I would try bouncing it there maybe. Here, you know, who knows? You know, who knows where it wants to go? And you're going to find some support down here around 1313, the low of the year. So, you know, for a short, it's not a big short. It's a 40, it's a 30 cent short. I just think there's other money to be made here than in this. It's just not a lot of movement in this name. There's not a lot going on here in the silver world. It's in a downtrend. It's ugly. I just think there's more money to be made elsewhere. If you look what's going on in the market right now, you got names like Roku, which are killing it. You got names like the China names you could have shorted and made big money. Tesla was a huge short from last week if you wanted. Now it had a nice bounce today. There's just no movement here. There's no real conviction to own it here. I don't see a catalyst to be in it either way. I think I'm a little different than Neil. I don't see a reason to really be shorted or long it. Just avoid it.
All right. Well, let's turn to these semis, because they were getting nailed pretty hard there for a while. Then today they came up for some air. But is that all they did today, come up for some air? Let's find out how we feel about Intel. Neil.
Yeah. It's been strong for like the whole, like over the last year or so. And when the market was turning down, Intel was doing okay. But with the news recently, it's sketchy. But, you know, I think that it's been so strong that even with this move down, if you're a day trader, you could get a move up. It's maybe 49, something like that. But the trend is very difficult. But the market cap of Intel is not that big if I compare it to some other companies. So I'm just going to bring up the market cap.
I got $195 billion. So that sounds pretty big to me.
That's small.
It is small.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the biggest personal computer chip manufacturer in the world. It just seems low.
Right. Yeah, but a lot of these semis now with the phones, there's more money to be made there than in the PC markets.
Right?
So like a lot of these semis are making their money in the phones, the chips for the phones and stuff like Qualcomm rather than PC.
Right. Right. Yeah. And obviously this is a China story too. Getting under 50, which was the highs of the fourth quarter, and was the breakout point to 60. Obviously, getting back under 50 wasn't the greatest thing to happen. And that might add some credence to the concept of bouncing back towards 49 and then fading from there. But Mike, your input on Intel was exactly what?
Well, you know, you had this big move up, and they announced the new CEO, which is the guy they wanted. So you finally got this big breakout and move and go, which was great. And then on his first earnings call, they guide down and they get killed. You know, they guide down badly. A couple of days later, they announced they're getting out of the 5G market. They're not going to participate in phones anymore. And then they guide down a second time. Now, if you're a CEO, how bad do you have to be to guide down twice in less than 2 weeks? I mean, that's just brutal. How do you not know 2 weeks earlier that you're going to be guiding down again? So it's getting slaughtered here. And I don't know where the bounce comes from. You know, I've been looking for an oversold bounce all last week, and it didn't really give one. It gave a tiny little one, but there's nothing. Couldn't even reconnect with the 8-day. This name's weak. Yeah, maybe it finds something down here. The other news is with Hawaii, the news on there. They spent $70 billion on components in 2018. 11 million of it went to Intel, Micron, and Qualcomm. So there's some pretty big hurt coming into Intel, Qualcomm, and Micron on these on the inability to sell to Hawaii anymore in China. That's a big part of their market. So I don't know where this bounce comes from. I don't know what's going to get it. AMD is starting to eat their lunch in the chip market on the computers as well.
Did you have a chart on AMD you could share with us? Because I think the technical picture looks quite a bit different.
Yeah, we talked about AMD and we did NVIDIA, right? This is what they said. This is the chip. If there's a semi I want to own, it's AMD. This chart looks awesome. Holding in, consolidating, not getting beaten up on this news. You know, looks like at some point, if the markets can get going, I would expect this one to take out that high of 34. You know, just consolidating on the 50-day. It's viable for day trades. That 2650 area has been viable now for the last couple of weeks. That's what you want. That's the name you want to be looking at. Until it breaks that area and closes under it, that's the name you want to be looking at.
All right, let's turn towards the longest recommended sector on Broadway. And the bank and the financials. So they're still selling tickets there. And the best of breed, I've been told, is JP Morgan. At least that's what everybody tells me. And Neil, do you see anything going on in JP Morgan here?
No, you've got a triple top practically. Double top here at the same level. Now you got slightly lower. There's just no way at all I see it breaking out to new highs. I mean, it'd have to be just, I mean, something amazing happened to do that. I don't know if for sure if this is true anymore, but I did read once that these investment banks make more money on their trading floor than they do in all investment banking business combined. So maybe it's going to be harder to make money on the trading floor. I don't know. But yeah, nah, just avoid. I don't know if unless you love yield, maybe the yield is good. I'm not sure.
Yeah, yield's at 286 and the P's at 12. So while it's not undervalued, it's not crazy either, I don't think.
Also, people out there, if they're you know, in a situation where they're thinking about retirement, get into covered calls. There's going to be a lot of good opportunity in that.
Right. Mike, we have mobile payments from Alibaba and Tencent. That's obviously really popular in China. And if that popularity were to roll over to the States, they say, you know, $43 billion, $46 billion comes out of the fees on these credit card purchases, as well as check writing and all that. So looking down the road, do you see anything where mobile payments could really put a ding on the banks, or is that way too far down the road?
I don't think it's too far. You're already seeing it starting to happen. Look at PayPal, right? With Venmo. PayPal owns Venmo. And, you know, look at the rise in this stock over the last year. Look at this beautiful chart, right? Hit a new all-time high last week before pulling back, consolidating here on the 8-day. You know, so they're getting into it. Square's getting into it. I think the banks have some risk there that they don't have the good exposure to it. I think you're making a great point, Jim. You know, that said, JP Morgan, definitely best in breed. You know, look at the weekly chart. You have this triple top. I don't know what the catalyst is. You know, the banks here have been lagging. When you look at the move we've had overall in the markets, the banks have generally lagged the markets. JPN is one of the exceptions. They made a new 52-week high where most of the rest of the banks haven't come close. But, you know, if interest rates aren't going up, I'm not sure what the catalyst here. I do think PayPal or probably Square. Square is going to get bought out eventually just because they're disrupting everybody. But, you know, the big banks will either buy a Square or they'll copy what PayPal is doing and get in on their own. I don't see good trades here right now. I know we have the Fed minutes tomorrow. What's the catalyst? You know, they're saying no more rate hikes this year. What are you buying the banks for? You can own them for dividend, but that's about it.
All right, CRMT. And I wasn't particularly familiar with that. So that's going to be America's Car Mart. And I would imagine it's buying your cars online, maybe. I don't know. Anybody know much about this? It's obviously been on the bicycle here. It's up at 101. And the 52-week low on it is 55. So clearly money's coming in here. Neil, is it going to keep coming in here? Or what does it look like in your opinion?
I got to look it up. Do you know, Mike?
It is. It's automotive retail in the United States. It sells older model used vehicles and provides financing to customers.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what it is. You know what I don't like about this name right off the bat? And I'll let you go, Neil. It does about 100,000 shares a day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not.
This is not a name I want to be involved in.
Yeah. And if something happened and the liquidity dried up, it might be hard to get in and out of. Huh?
You know, it's a nice chart. It's got a very small market cap, right?
Yeah.
It, to me, it's just, you know, it's got a 683 million market cap. It doesn't have a lot of float. It's got 100 and what's the float on this thing? 6.2 million shares.
Yeah, it may specialize in that section of the market that has not the greatest credit, doesn't have a lot of money. So if it's a $10,000 or less car, you know, obviously the amount of money involved isn't that big. And if you get some, finance companies who want to take a stretch off first base and try to make some money, that's, I think, their sector. And, you know, like I say, it can be a sector that can last for a while or it could dry up. But right now the P is at 16-1, so that's not crazy. And certainly it must be doing something because it didn't go from 55 to 100 for no reason.
You know, Jim, if this is a name, if you know about what it is and you like it, it's an investment. You hold it.
Right.
This is not a name you trade.
No.
You have to know what
It'd be something you think this business model makes sense. You think that lower income, lower price vehicles for people that are tight of funds and maybe have some spots on their record. You know, there's always going to be a market for that or whatever. If that's the way you want to play it, that would be something like that. Almost like these short-term loan companies that are out there who are obviously trying to service people that are tight for cash from time to time.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are getting on to the top of the hour and it's time to give everybody another reminder. Any more new ones?
There was a live question that I thought was a question from the live audience that I thought was interesting. We could get in here in the last few minutes. From a technical point of view, is there any way to catch a trend in the early days? So if you have any thoughts about good ways to catch big trends before they happen.
Neil, do you have anything on what kind of an indicator would give you an idea that a trend might be happening right away?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I got the dollar index up here. I was going to say it can move soon. Just look for something that's underneath the cloud. So if you look here, it's underneath this pink cloud here. And as soon as it changes the trend right here, you can get in right at the beginning of the trend. And that's really a key issue, is to get in at the beginning so you can get that move. And sometimes when a stock will change trends, it can start to move really fast before anyone notices. So you could use the Ichimoku cloud for that. Not in every case, of course. You have to, you know, sort of become an expert at it and see, okay, is this really happening here? And let me just make this a bit bigger. But here, if you were watching it and you got this move right here, I would say, yeah, I mean, that's a great time to get in. So look for that.
And like any other indicator, it's not going to be 100% certain, but what you're trying to do is put the odds on your side, which is the whole purpose of technical analysis, is trying to get probabilities going your way. Mike, did you have anything to add on the trying to find a turn or anything like that?
Yeah, I call it, you know, keep it simple, stupid, right? Volume. Volume speaks massive amounts of what's going on in name early. So if you look at Roku, you look at the volume today on the open, the sustain, you look at it the last couple of days, you know, it tells you that the name's in play. You can look at names like, you know, like Twitter today. And look at the volume was not special on the open on that pop, and it died off quick. It's telling you it's not going to trend, right? The volume's not special. So look at the volume. Compare it to previous days on the opening, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes. If it's up there and sustained, it's telling you that the name's in play that day. If it's not, it's telling you that this is just the opening salvo of buying that day. And then once that, you know, 15, 20-minute buying dries up, like we see every day, it's probably not going to hold up. And what did Twitter do today? Right back down.
So there you go. You got two angles to work with as far as trying to get involved with a trend that might just be starting. One with the cloud, and then one with what Mike was just showing you. So, you know, that's the beauty of today's show, is that you've got two guys on there who've got a lot of information on how to work with these markets, and not exactly the same angle. So that's the value of contacting them and getting more information. Right now, with the last couple of minutes here, I'm just going to let Neil start start out and just review who you are, what your website is, any special offers, or any special trades you want to talk about, this would be the time to let it out.
You sign up for my newsletter, I'll send out some good technical analysis for free. If you sign up, best trade I can give right now is a dollar index. I think the U.S. best economy in the world, and the dollar could move if you, so probably my pick would be the dollar index,
Okay, great. And is there a website again that people can get to get more information from you, Neil?
Yeah, it's Trader Review.
TraderReview.com. All right, great. Thanks, Neil. Mike, again, reintroduce yourself again and let people know how they get a hold of you.
Yep. My name is Mike Pisani with SmartOptionTrading.com. You can come to my website. If you want to know more, I have a free newsletter. Click on here. I send out a video replay of the week and what looks good. If you're interested in my service, real-time option flow, come in. 2 videos a day. Everything we talked about here you see applied on a daily basis, real-time. I'm live 3 hours a day. I do a special. First 30 days, $25. It's an introductory period. Cancel anytime. If after that, it renews at $100 a month. If you want to get a hold of me, the best way to get at me is on Twitter, @OptionsMike. That's my page. That's me on the set of Fast Money. You can catch me there. If you're looking for a chart, guys, I would stick with the strong names, and I wouldn't chase Roku, but if you can get a dip on this thing, they're buying the heck out of it, and this name, names that get up like this typically go to 100. It may dip first before it goes there, but, this to me is one of the names you just keep track of and not lose track of it. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Okay, we had a lot of information here. Great informed opinion, and I think there was real value here for everybody today. I'm going to turn it back over to David, and David, thanks a lot for having me moderate again. Again, I'm Jim Kinney. My website is optionprofessor.com, and any questions you might have for me, just shoot me an email at optionprofessor@gmail.com. Back to you, David.
All right, thanks, guys. Lots of good information today. So just a quick closing reminder for everyone. Be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory or network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording of this show or any of the past shows. The Crowd Forecast News show, the Monday show, will be off next week for the holiday. But back the week after that, and then also the next episode of this show, Analyze Your Trade, will be on next week. That'll be May 28th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So just want to thank my guests again for today, Neil Batho of TraderReview.net, Mike Pisani of SmartOptionTrading.com, and Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David. Thanks.